This is Neil Whiteside.
And it's really lovely to welcome into the studio a couple more from a couple of rangers from our charity of the month here on Cambridge 105 Radio, the Wildlife Trust of Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire, and Northamptonshire. Joined in the studio by Ian Webb and by Becky Green. Good afternoon to the two of you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome along. I'm impressed, Ian. Not only did you cycle here, you're in shorts, for goodness sake. I was just saying earlier, it's chilly out there today. My mother would have been furious I wasn't wearing a coat.
Yeah, just don't let my mother know that.
Is this a trademark of you, though?
It is now, I think.
Are you acclimatised to the outside, do you think?
Whenever I'm outside, I'm not standing around or sitting around. I'm at working, walking, cycling. So my legs keep me warm. They keep themselves warm just by being active.
My goodness me. And Becky, you did the more traditional mode of transport to get here.
Yes, that's right, yes. I don't live that locally, so...
Fair enough. Now, you're both rangers at Trumpington Meadows, which I understand is one of the newer Wildlife Trust reserves. What was the story behind that? Was it all developed as part of the housing, the structured development down there, or...?
Yeah, that's right. So it was. We've been working there for over 3 years now. It was developed alongside Grosvenor, who are the landowners and the developers down there. A big load of building going on down there, as anyone who's been down there recently can probably see. And as part of that, they decided to develop this lovely patch of land into a nature reserve.
Where do you start on something like that? What was it before, and what are you faced with when you create a nature reserve? Is it just a case of preserving what there is there, or do you take a look at it and go, well, hang on a minute, we could change this a bit, could fiddle with nature?
Well, I think you're correct. There were little patches of existing habitat, which, you know, species rich grass and along some of the sections of the field, but it was primarily just arable farmland, so quite species poor. So what was done was sow a lot of it with species-rich grassland that you'd expect to find in this sort of area. So it's and planted a few trees, and there's sort of a flood alleviation system in place, which is actually a lovely lake filled with ducks and dragonflies in the summer and things like that. So starting from scratch is quite a good way, but with those little pockets of existing habitat, species are then able to retake previous land,
So you just leave it to nature to reclaim. And by nature, don't leave the grass just to overgrow, but the animals and all the different insects and everything, they will just go, and they will sort it all out amongst themselves.
Yeah, that's right. You provide the habitat and they will appear. So, and we were quite lucky, not lucky, but obviously the nature reserve, the River Cam runs alongside the nature reserve. So having that, and like Ian said, a lot of the sort of pockets of habitat that were already there, really, really makes the place, really. So
what can people expect to see if you go down there?
Today,
well,
there's not much today.
A
little bit, but we're starting from March, April time. On the grasslands, it's quite wonderful. Because they're so species rich, you get a lovely continuation of different species coming to flower. So first off, it'll be the cowslips. Carpets of cowslips come up in April time. Really quite beautiful. Then the oxeye daisies come out. Yeah. And then there's the birdsfoot trefoil, a lovely yellow little flower. Sort of carpets of that. And then there's the black knap weeds and the other species coming up. So it is quite wonderful. The grasslands are quite spectacular when you sort of... We run monthly walks, monthly meanders around the site.
I say I've got these written down here, so you get to you're keen to do it. It says here that you can learn about the very rich and fascinating history, from amazing archaeological finds to Mary Piper potatoes.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have chips available.
I was going to say
outside. Nice. Maybe next year we'll do that. We'll
outdoor barbecue. What were the archaeological finds that you found down there?
There's a whole host of things. Obviously, the site has got quite a rich history, sort of dating back from there was a Roman farmstead, like ruin, found there. Then going sort of forward slightly in history, sort of a Saxon burial ground was excavated there. So when they started developing the area, they did excavations as they do in these sorts of things, and found some wonderful and interesting things. Obviously, more recent times, it was the Plant Breeding Institute, and all sorts of stuff in between.
And there's the Cambridgeshire mining boom in the 19th century.
Right.
Yeah,
Cambridgeshire mining boom.
Have you not heard about?
I obviously, I know there's the chalk pits at Cherry Hinton, but I kind of figured that was it.
No, coprolite mining. That was big in the late 19th century, I believe. We haven't got time to talk about it here, but maybe come along one of the meanders and you can learn a bit more about it.
That sounds like a good idea. And have you found that when you have a space place like this, which is developed as part of a development, I guess kind of on the planner's map, it's just, well, yeah, that will keep the local people happy. We're going to stick a load of houses up and this gives them somewhere to walk. But have you found that it gets picked up by a much wider community? You've got people coming in to see stuff that they can't find elsewhere in Cambridgeshire where you are.
Yeah, I think you get a mix, really. I do think that it's well used by local people, which is really wonderful, and that's lovely. We do find on our events that people do come from all over. I mean, you get people from sort of Cambridge and Cambridgeshire. We've had people from further afield, though, come to our events and our guided walks and things like that, because, you know, we have our nature reserves span three counties, so, you know, we sort of talk about it on a sort of three-county level often when we're talking about
it. Yes, we've spoken before about the different, what's the word I'm looking for? Habitats that you've got across those three counties, and Cambridgeshire, I guess, with big skies and flatlands, fairly unique compared to the other two.
Yeah.
I've heard talk of otters.
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah. We were lucky a couple of years ago to see two, in fact, swimming around in broad daylight, quite near the M11 in the river, and they regularly pass through, the river that passes by the nature reserve is within the territory of a couple of otters, probably. About 3 or 4 weeks, you'll look at certain spots and you'll find their droppings. They leave as territorial markers around, and you'll know they're in the vicinity.
Well, I guess these meanders and these walks with people like you who know what you're looking for, that's the trick, isn't it? To getting it to a lot of people, they'll turn up and go, yes, it's very nice, it's a very pleasant space, but to get really into just what's going on. So tell us about these walks. When do they happen? How do people get involved?
Well, they're every third Thursday of the month, expertly led by Ian, usually, but a range of us, really. Sometimes it's me and sometimes other colleagues as well. I mean, you know, it's probably unlikely that we're going to sort of see an otter, say, if we're walking on the monthly meander, but there is always something to see, which is what makes it so exciting. I mean, you know, different times of the year, you know, throughout the different seasons, there's always a highlight and there's always something spectacular sort of somewhere in the nature reserve. And having expert guides like Ian means that there's always somebody there to sort of pick up on that and sort of be able to, you know, tell people about it and interpret it for people.
And it is interesting as well. I don't know if you found the same, but I found that whenever I used to wander across the countryside, you always seem to be looking out for the animals and the birds. But it's the insects and the plants that are actually the things. I remember the first time I ever saw, in fact, the only time I've ever seen a privet hawk moth, and it was enormous. I used to live in Highfields, Caldecott, and I was walking along a bridle way to Bourne, and I saw the dog sniffing around a plant, and I thought, what on earth? And it was something like the Quatermass experiment. It was this enormous. And I really was sort of like, is this right? Do they make moths this big? But you just see that's the thing that you think, my goodness me, of all the things I've ever seen in the area where I used to, that was way and above the most exciting. Yeah, it was a moth.
Yeah.
And plants, I guess a lot of people can get very excited when they see a particular species of something growing. Mm. So it's amazing that you've got your local knowledge to pull up and go, yeah, never mind about that bird. This down here is really what you should be looking at, because it's the only one left. Ian, you're also the Cambridge City Greenways Project Officer as well. So
I am, that is correct.
What does that involve?
It involves engaging with the public, whether it be through practical conservation work. I lead a volunteer team in and around Cambridge doing practical conservation work on wildlife sites and nature reserves, letting people feel, you know, getting closer to nature, but in a positive way as well, by actually doing something constructive, albeit usually chopping stuff down. But it is constructive in the longer term, helping
maintain. It's management, isn't it?
It's management, yeah, that's right. But I also do a lot of outreach events as well, so doing walks and talks, bat punt safaris. I'm sure you've heard about those.
You are Batman. Technically, you are Batman.
Well, I can't confirm that. But no, I did help set up the bat punt safaris, which had a fantastic year this year, the best year we've had so far, really, with numbers of people and the amount of money raised for the Wildlife Trust. It's quite wonderful.
Which is great, but are the bats doing okay? What's the story with the bats in Cambridge?
But it's quite interesting, actually, because this is the eighth season of doing it, and I've done all years, you do see changes year on year with the different species. But it's, on the whole, if you look at it throughout those 8 years, it does seem to be fairly constant, with perhaps an increase in certain species. But it's difficult to say, because bats utilise the landscape.
I was going to say, they're pretty smart cookies, aren't they? They'll find somewhere to nest. They'll always find a way to survive, won't they?
Well, hopefully, if the habitats are there, and that's the key thing. And with the development of Trumpington Meadows, it's a wonderful addition to the suite of sites along the river corridor from Trumpington Meadows all the way through Cambridge and out the other side, really. So the River Cam is vital link with all these sites and the habitats.
And is the idea behind the bat, I mean, this shows you how little I know about wildlife, and I do apologise, but is it that bats do tend to be near water? Is that one of their favourite habitats?
Well, certain species of bats like feeding around water because the water provides a good amount of insect habitat, insect prey. Certainly for the smaller bats, like the pipistrelle bats. And the Daubenton's bat, which is its other name, is the water bat, so it feeds over water primarily. So that's where you'd see them, and you do get good numbers. And being in a punt, you are surrounded by bats. It is quite amazing. You should come out.
Yes. I've always wanted to. The trouble is, your other half is scared of bats. And I guess what you're going to tell me now is they're not going to get stuck in your hair.
That's not
they're
why not... I've got my hair cut.
Is that right? No, that's just nature having its way.
I decided. Yeah. I have had a couple of people on the tours come along who have been scared of bats, but they have, at the end of it, enjoyed it because they are close, but they don't get really close at all. And you do see how beautiful they are. And within the setting of lovely moonlit sort of riverside sort of habitat, it's really quite lovely.
But you also have the audio stuff, don't you?
Yes, yeah, so you can hear the echolocation as well. And occasionally we use torches as well to see some of the bats. So it is really quite a wonderful experience. And like I say, I've done quite a few of them, and each one is special, and I look forward to the next one because it is such a unique experience.
And you were saying just before we came on air, actually, your next one's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be my 100th.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to get a tattoo and everything. Should it be a
batu? A batu, yeah. So when do these run all year round, or do you just mainly do it in the summer?
No, from I think we've sorted out the dates now, actually. I think it's from the 10th of May, which is a Friday, to the 22nd of September. Every Friday, just before sunset. And also, we're trying a few more Saturdays as well, because previously we'd just done it over the summer holidays, the Saturdays and the summer holidays, but we've decided to go from July to September, so a good 3 months of Saturdays as well. So hopefully, because it's been so popular, we had over 1,000 people tell us.
That's what you want, isn't it? And that engagement with nature in that way.
Yeah.
Do you mind people are actually coming back to nature now? People are starting to realise just what danger we're in of losing. I mean, we've got people like David Attenborough going around. You've got maps showing, satellite imaging showing Antarctica slipping away to the eastern edge. Are people finally waking up on this and going, hang on, right, can we find out more? Can we do more? Can we protect more?
I hope so. And obviously we sort of see quite a lot of that being in the world that we're in. It's like we talk to a lot of people who are very enthusiastic about that sort of thing. I don't know if I can say in sort of like the greater sort of scheme of things.
I feel that people are switching on to things because I think everybody has an innate connection with nature. It's just they don't realise it or they don't appreciate that connection because nobody really goes on holiday and sits in a car park, do they?
No, and it's when you go camping. I always remember taking the kids camping, and you think, okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to go camping near Great Yarmouth so we can spend all day and on the beach and on the fun fair. And actually, the bit they all enjoyed and the bit that years later they talk about was lying on their backs on a blanket looking at the stars and spotting which ones were which and spotting the moon.
Yeah.
And it is that, isn't it? And then suddenly, as you say, an owl goes over or a bat goes over or something like that, and it's that they remember.
Yeah.
You know, the bright lights, yeah, they've done that a million times. Yeah. Since, but they haven't done the lying on fields. Yeah. If people want to get involved, are you looking for volunteers?
We are certainly looking for volunteers. So we have, obviously Ian works with a lot of volunteer groups in Cambridge, but we also have our own volunteer group that just work at Trumpington Meadows.
Right.
And they're going from strength to strength. They're a fantastic addition to our little sort of community there. We meet every other Wednesday, and it's a sort of small but good kind of group, and definitely we could do with a little bit more help around the place. So if anybody is interested in getting involved,
what sort of things would people be involved in doing? Do you need heavy lifters, or do you need people who just have a knowledge of it?
Anybody, as long as they're enthusiastic. We do a whole variety of things. So we do some things that are sort of physical. You know, it's all outdoor sort of stuff usually anyway, and we do a little bit in our workshop. But so a little bit of physical fitness is not a bad thing. But we do a whole range of things. You know, at this time of year, we're kind of managing some of the scrub, sort of clearing some of the grasslands, so, things can bloom freely next year.
I was going to say, I guess even though it's a wildlife trust, you nevertheless, as you say, you've got to manage stuff, haven't you?
Right.
Otherwise, it just becomes a mess and things have got to be allowed to grow in the right place. So now's a good time of year to be doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So a bit of that, we might do. Last year we made some barn owl boxes with our volunteer teams, and we put those up, which was fantastic. During the summer months, they might be sort of doing a bit, helping us with some sort of old-fashioned hay raking and things like that. And we also do a lot of wildlife surveys ourselves, so they can always be a help with that. We did butterfly surveys last year with the help of the volunteer teams, so that was great. So yeah, please, we are looking for volunteers, so get in touch with me.
And you've got some events coming up as well, is that right? You've got a bit of an events diary on the go. What's the future looking like at the moment then?
Yeah, we do indeed. Well, we have our regular monthly meanders that we've already spoken about. next year, we've got a whole programme of things. So we try and do, a sort of few different things every, every month, really. Mm-hmm. Sort of get out in the community as well as sort of things on the nature reserve. January, we're doing a WAS sale. Does Ian maybe wants to sort of explain what a WAS sale is?
A WAS sale is the traditional way of blessing the orchards to banish the evil spirits, but also to encourage a fruitful spring and summer. So we're going to give that a go.
Okay.
I believe there's toast hanging.
What? Oh, yeah, toast hanging. Yeah. We need to read up a bit more about this. But I think
it'll be a... Someone bought you a book for Christmas, didn't they? It sounds amazing. Sounds like huge fun.
It is. It's going to be great.
It will be.
Toast hanging.
Yes.
Okay.
Later on in the month, in the spring, we build bird boxes. National Nest Box Week is in February. So during half term, we like to get the families along to help us build bird boxes, and then they can take them away for their sort of gardens or their spaces and hang them up. Last year, we actually had a family come that built their bird box, put it up in their new build house on Trumpington Meadows, and then sent us a little video of the was it blue tits? It was blue tits, I think, that had nested in there.
That's
pretty
amazing, isn't it?
That was really lovely.
That's a direct link to nature, isn't it? And those things get reused and reused and reused, don't they? So it's not just a one-off.
And then again, sort of, we start getting sort of further on into spring. We do things like we go and look for boxing hares and mammals and things like that in the spring. So we're lucky enough to have a lot of farmland around us where there's quite a lot of hares that you can see around, brown hares. A whole host of things that we do throughout the year. So obviously it changes the season.
Yeah, you're never going to get bored, are you? It must be an amazing job. Yeah, must be a great job. Just as a quick aside, though, obviously you want to encourage people to come. Is there things that people do that they shouldn't? Are the public getting some things wrong? Dogs on leads, that sort of stuff. If you're going to do this, if you're going to get involved, or if you're just going to wander across, as you said, wander across farmland. I always remember wandering across farmland with my dog once, and the chap in a deer stalker hat popping his head up above a hedge saying, "I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't come too close, we're shooting." And it's like, there's that sort of thing. I mean, I never went there again, but...
Yeah, I think people having a sort of healthy respect for the, the nature reserve that they're on, but also the other people that are there using it as well. And I think it's finding that sort of balance, really, of just people looking out for each other and looking out for what they're on and sort of respecting it. And I think when you just have that sort of basic, sort of thing, then it works really well. I mean, it is good to, in some instances, have your dogs on a lead during bird breeding season. Yeah. We have a lot of ground nesting birds, and dogs can disturb ground nesting birds. But there are other areas of the nature reserve where there's not much that they can be disturbing, and a lot of people do go there and walk their dogs and have a great time.
It's all good,
so,
and all fine.
Yeah.
Excellent. Listen, if people want to find out more, the website wildlifebcn.org. Wildlife, yep. Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire, Northamptonshire.
Yep,
wildlifebcn.org, yeah?
Yep.
Lovely. And they can just wander down there and get in touch with you guys if they want to get involved volunteering, or if you look on the website, they'll find out all about the rambling and the meandering.
We actually we have an office on Trumpington Meadows.
Do
we
you?
Actually work on the reserve, which is very nice.
Oh, what a great way to turn up to
it's
work.
Very nice. And we always have, we're either in the office or we always have leaflets outside if people sort of turn up and want to know what's going on then.
How lovely. Well, it's been a pleasure to meet you both. You've now got, I guess the challenge for you both now is to get back to Trumpington Meadows. Ian, I'm going to tell you, if it's anything like the traffic getting out of Cambridge yesterday, you're going to be there, feet up on the desk, making a cup of tea, long before Becky. It took me an hour to get out of Cambridge last night. Yeah, I think you could be in for a bit of a rough journey, Becky. But it's been lovely to meet you both. So that's Ian Webb and Becky Green. They're rangers with Trumpington Meadows for the Wildlife Trust of Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Northamptonshire. I envy you your job. I will be coming down. We've got to do the bat punt.
Yeah,
so stay in touch. We've got to do the bat punt. That's something. If you want to find out more, wildlifebcn.org. Thanks very much indeed for coming in, the two of you.